There are pretty hefty criminal penalties for an antitrust violation. Why is that important? Once that HR guidance was issued, the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission said that they were then going to seek now criminal enforcement for any agreements or anything that violated that guidance after October of 2016. Anything before then, mostly there was civil type of enforcement, whether it was injunctive relief or some sort of, you know, requirements that there be training, inspection, things of that nature. Now, there also has been a number of class action litigation, and typically what you've seen in this particular realm, including in the employment context, is DOJ will bring suit, will enjoin the group of employers who've engaged in some type of antitrust activity, or at least reach an agreement, a consent agreement or a settlement agreement to enjoin that activity. And inevitably, my colleagues on the other side of the bar, very smartly, will all of a sudden file class action lawsuits. In fact, there's one in San Antonio that actually the class was not certified in January of this year, although the lawsuit had been pending since 2006. And it involved a class action lawsuit against several hospitals who the allegations were the hospitals, and it very specifically their HR personnel, had gotten together, would typically share information towards the end of the year about, you know, kind of what kind of wage increases are we going to offer. Are we going to offer 2%, 3%? What are we going to do? They would share that information, and conveniently it was right at budget time and right before they're going to do merit increases. And so the contention was is that particular type of sharing of information created an anti-competitive effect, because then if you're talking about all the hospitals, for instance, in a city, what is the impact, for example, on nurses? All the hospitals are offering the same rate. There is no competition in the marketplace, and employees cannot negotiate better terms as a result. That's why it ended up in the litigation it did. Now, let's talk a little bit about, let's back up maybe a little bit. Obviously, employers, they offer different things to get employees to come work for them or to keep their employees. Carrots, salaries, benefits, great working conditions, those type of thing. Sticks being your non-compete agreements, your non-solicitation agreements, maybe a confidentiality agreement. And then the reason why these employers might get together is that sometimes there's just not enough carrots or sticks to make it matter. And now on the sticks part of it, typically this also, we've seen much more litigation in those states, and I'm talking about antitrust litigation, in those states where they cannot have non-compete agreements, cannot have non-solicitation agreements, or there are very strong restrictions against them. And so that has tended to be where we see more of the antitrust litigation. Now, most of these antitrust issues are arising from what are called wage fixing or no poaching agreements, and these are among competitors. And that's where employers, just as I said, the hospitals were, they were sharing information back and forth amongst each other. This is exactly the type of activity that the enforcement guidance is looking to stop, and to ensure that companies start thinking about how that type of sharing of information can result in an antitrust, whether it's a governmental action or a civil action. Now, a wage-fixing agreement is an agreement between two or more competitors to fix salaries or other terms and conditions of employment. It could be either at a specific level, you know, we're only going to pay $15 an hour, or we're going to pay within a range. We're going to pay between $15 and $20 an hour. It can include fringe benefits, even from things like gym memberships, meals, parking. It's pretty expansive in terms of what will be considered a wage-fixing agreement. Now, two probably good examples of cases that came about as a result of wage-fixing agreements. One was one involving fashion designers who had gotten together, and they had decided, you know what, we're going to put on two fashion shows twice a year. And we're going to create a production company that's going to handle putting those on. And of course, the production company is made up of all the designers. Well, they decided they weren't going to compete against each other for the models who were going to appear in the shows, and that the production company then would set the specific rate for those models. The Department of Justice brought an action against them, saying that that was an antitrust violation. And ultimately, that type of conduct was enjoined, and they were prevented from doing so because the thought was the models then didn't have the ability to negotiate their wage rates.